Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bacon Smiles Podcast.
Number three.
All right. So again, my name is Steve Patera, founder of Bacon Smiles. And with me, as always, my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Awesome.
Good to see you. See that you've caught up on your sleep and your voice is back in form after this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So since our last podcast, let's do a little breakdown of what we're going to kind of cover today. So Evan was just mentioning that we had a retreat this weekend, so we're going to talk about that. We also, Evan came over at my house. We had the Super Bowl party.
That was a lot of fun.
And also, in the news a lot lately, seems that your friend and mine, not really, Kanye West, has lost his mind.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that. And then, as always, we like to talk about the blessed, the saint of the day. And today it's Blessed Sebastian of Apriscio. And he's got a pretty awesome story, kind of like rags to riches, back to rags. Mm. So we're going to talk about that. And then there's an interesting story about a man and his turtles.
But we'll get to that later on.
We will also talk about that. All right. So it's been about a month since we got together for our podcast. And, you know, big thing around then was the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. A lot of fun. Like you said, we came and hang out here. You had a lot of friends over. Yeah. Jen came over as well. Eva was there, and it was fun. The dialogue going on sometime during the halftime show, that was hysterical.
Absolutely, and you know, most people watch for the commercials and everything like that. My friend Austin, he brought over his three kids. He has an infant daughter, mm-hmm. and then two twin 3-year-old daughters, mm-hmm. and they were just having a blast.
Bouncing off the wall.
Yeah, it was great. It's always good, you know, getting to the age where your friends are going to have kids, right?
Right.
And the funny thing was, is my friend Steve and Michelle, they also brought their two children, an mm-hmm. infant and a 2-year-old son. And as we get to this age, you know, I'm 32, mm-hmm. You're 28, and our friends are going to start, they have kids, they're married, right. and they're going to have kids, and you know, if you want to see them, they're going to bring their kids.
Right.
And it was so awesome that they brought their kids and everyone had a great time. And
right.
it was just so funny. Both of them, my friend Steve and my friend Austin, called me and were like, hey, man, I guess we're not going to be able to come. We couldn't find a sitter. Mm. You know, sorry about that. And I'm like, dude, just bring them.
Right.
It was so funny. They both called me separately. And I was just like, just come. Just bring them.
Right,
you know,
right,
you
right.
have kids. I love you guys. I love your whole family. Just come and have a great time. So it's kind of awesome, you know, bringing that next dynamic in. We're
right.
a little bit older. Bringing
seeing
the families
together.
Seeing
them run in front of the TV screen.
Yeah, exactly.
And jump back.
Yeah, it was just, it was awesome. So, the Broncos defeated the Panthers.
Yeah.
And Peyton Manning may end up retiring.
Yeah.
I know one person who's super happy that the Broncos won. That would be our director of youth ministry.
Yes, MJ. She was very thrilled.
Super excited. So,
if you could pick a halftime performer,
It would not be Beyonce.
It wouldn't be Beyonce, no.
Or Coldplay.
No? Okay.
I know it's going to sound odd, but give me someone who can play an instrument live and get mm-hmm. people going. You know, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah.
Aerosmith.
Yeah.
You know, give me someone who can play live instruments and get mm-hmm. people going. It's just the theatrics isn't what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, you know, like a band.
And I think we kind of went that way when Bruno Mars was on a couple of years ago. I thought he did a great job. And then we go back to the theatrical stuff. See, I would love to see if Queen was still together, Freddie Mercury was still around, I'd love to see them do the halftime show because that would be a really entertaining. It'd be theatrical, but they're talented at the same time. You know?
Yeah, and it just seems so odd. Like, so when the whole, like, Janet Jackson thing happened mm-hmm. with Justin Timberlake, nudity on live television, which was just ridiculous. But it kind of was like working towards that, where just mm-hmm. like the gratuitous nudity and stuff was getting out of hand. And then because of, what were they calling it at the time? A wardrobe malfunction.
That's right.
Happened.
There's always speculation now. Will there be wardrobe malfunction this year?
Yeah, exactly. So now what happened was is then they just decided to go like the opposite. And they brought out Bruce Springsteen, which I actually liked. That was actually good.
And Paul McCartney, too.
And Paul McCartney. And it was just, you know, actual people playing actual instruments.
Right.
You know, was entertaining. And now it seems like slowly but surely they're getting back to just the theatrics and just, I don't know.
Whoever's releasing an album in a couple weeks.
And to get more, you know, more of the younger crowd watching, I guess. But speaking of music and I guess the younger crowd, it's something that I just do not really connect with on any level. And that is Mr. Genius himself, Kanye West.
Right.
He is a lunatic. I'm just going to go out and say it. Something tells me he's never going to hear this podcast.
Right.
Anyone that I know, probably not going to tweet.
He may. He goes off on everything. I almost texted you right after our last podcast because within a couple days or maybe a week is when he went off on one of his first of many rants where he misconstrued a tweet and just thought that it was about his wife and his pride came out. And that's his problem, I think. He's just a prideful person who is also insecure, and because of his pride, it ends up leading to his downfall.
And it also just tends to, you just come off so wrong, and definitely not in a way that he thinks he's coming off. Like, he thinks he comes off in a way that anything I say is going to inspire people. And that definitely comes to the point where he seems to think that everything he does is super inspirational, and he thinks he's the most influential person alive now. Mm. And he even said recently that he's more influential than the Apostle Paul. He said that out loud. I mean, there's things that you say that you can't really come back from, to me. And that's kind of one of them, is to say that you're more influential than St. Paul, who... the author of half the Bible, like the person who wrote down, you know, the letters to the Corinthians, you know, like, you know, that's just to say that you're more influential than St. Paul is just ridiculous to me. So that's why I just really think that he tends to think that the world is just so revolves around him and that he is this genius. He refers to himself as a genius all the time.
Right. Best musician alive.
Yeah, and that's so.
Or no, he said ever.
Yeah, ever. He legitimately thinks that he's the most influential person ever. He is the most important artist of all time, and everything that he does, he thinks is very important, and it kind of lends it lends itself to the way society is now. We are in the biggest me societies that has ever existed. People don't do things for others simply because they want to do something for someone else anymore. And it all stems from this way of people want it to be about them. A lot of people will do nice things for other people simply because they want others to see them doing nice things for other people.
Right. So they can post it on social media.
Exactly. Super self-serving. Yeah. Super self-serving. And that's not something I can relate to on any level. I never want it to be about me. And I never want others around me to be thinking that it's about them either. Everything should be about turning people to God. Like, that is what we're called to do. And when people think that the universe revolves around them, it creates this really odd thing where everything that they do is look at me, look at me, look at me. But it should really never be about that. It should never be about look at me. And that's why I can't relate to that. I can't relate to Kanye West in that he seems to think the world is all about him and making everyone turn to him. It should be about look at God and look what you can do through God. It should not be about look at me. Because I want to live my life in a way that makes people go, what does he have? What does he have? What makes him have so much joy? Because then at that point, I can say, it's my faith in Christ. It's right. The fact that
exactly.
It's my Catholic faith. That's what I have. It's about faith in knowing that there is joy in the world because God exists. Mm-hmm. And not because I'm a lyrical genius.
Right.
But you did mention earlier when we started about catching up on your sleep.
Yes, which maybe is something Connie should do. But we did that, you know, over the last few days.
So. I mean, I slept like all day on Monday. Like
you did. Yeah.
Luckily enough, I have Mondays off. But anyway, so what we're talking about is we actually had a youth ministry retreat for St. Bartholomew's Parish in Manchester. We had our annual winter retreat for high school kids in our program. And we had just an amazing weekend.
A lot of fun.
It was.
Weather was perfect.
Yeah, it was great.
Kids were great.
Yeah.
Food was good.
It was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're away at a camp, it's, yeah you're going to get... You know,
grilled cheese.
I'm not gonna lie, I did eat like three of those.
Yeah,
it was good, but
yeah,
you know, I kind of enjoy food a lot. Couldn't tell from my athletic physique.
I think we touched upon that in one of those slideshow videos where you're looking at the banana or the hot dog. Banana, hot dog. But it was a lot of fun. I remember meeting you at my first retreat 13 years ago. And I cannot believe it's been that long. But
13
years? Yeah.
So I must
have
been
back in 2002.
So I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm. And I was a freshman.
Yeah.
I think it was Matt Chepeleff.
It's actually 14 years ago.
Who pulled me aside and said, hey, man, you should check out this retreat. I had no idea what I was getting into. And it's helped bring me to where I am now.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? As I was talking to Lou mm-hmm. Gehrig.
Right.
If you will. in saying that.
Not the baseball player.
We have an awesome kid in our program. His first name is Gehrig. I call him Lou. Shout out to Lou if he listens.
Yeah.
Or his mom, who I actually do think does listen, which
is really
cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't think I've ever attended a retreat without being on team or in leadership. Yeah. When I became a peer minister, I had never been on a retreat, and the next retreat I helped plan it and have only been on the planning side of it. I don't think I could do the other way.
Of and just not, attending it and not knowing what's going on.
And not helping and not doing it. Like, I don't think I could do it. I really don't. So what was your favorite part of the weekend?
I loved the fact that I was always keeping my eye out, just making sure that no one was sitting by themselves. You know, everyone was just mingling and getting to know each other. And there was a few instances where I'd see... You know, someone that was just kind of sitting off to the side, a little quiet. And then within a couple seconds, one of the peer ministers or another kid would just hop on over and go, hey, you know, what's going on? And just start joking and chatting with the person. And everyone, I feel, from what I witnessed, was included. There was no one off to the side. And I think that's an awesome representation of our church. And
yeah,
our
and
ministry.
Just including people in.
Everyone's a part of it.
Yeah, and you know what's really cool is we had two retreat attendees who were homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't come in knowing a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really brave to start coming to our youth groups and then go on our retreat without having like that core group of people. You know, as a program, we pull from like six different schools.
Right.
You know, so you're normally going to know a few different people that kind of either go to your school or you know from around town, because we pull from, you know, Vernon, Manchester, Bolton, South Windsor. Yeah, exactly. You get the Andover, Hebron area.
Yeah.
You know, we pull from a lot of areas. So it's really cool that we get kids that
just are homeschooled. Don't have any of that background, you know, they attend our church.
And, yeah, exactly. And they attend our church and they hear that there's a youth group, and so they come. Mm-hmm. And then because they came to youth group, they wanted to come on retreat. I have to say that my favorite part of the weekend is actually like our small groups, like our little breakouts, because you get a little closer with, you know, five or six retreatants. And my small group was pretty awesome. And
I know you said at first they were a little quiet, but it seemed like you guys quickly switched that around. I was in the next room over. I was like, all right, Steve's group is awake. They're having a good time. Nothing wrong with that. But I was like, he was saying yesterday he was having trouble getting them talking. Now
it was actually more along the lines of like the way the room was set up. The first small group meeting we had, we were all in chairs in a very small space. Yeah. So what I did was I got rid of the chairs and put a bunch of mattresses on the floor so everyone could sit and be comfortable. Yeah. Once you're comfortable, it actually just kind of makes you more comfortable.
Right, right.
You know, to share and do everything else. So that was really cool. And I do like to get to know some of the retreatants at, you know, at a more, you know, personal one-on-one type level. And of course, you know, having fun and being a goofball is just part of it. It's just part of it. You know, that's what my one of my favorite parts is, too, is to just be absolutely ridiculous. I wore a pirate hat and eye patch.
Oh, yeah.
And what I would call a children's small vest. All right.
Linda Chris Farley and David Spade.
That guy in a little coat. One of our other adults, Linda Hamlin, she always has such awesome costumes and everything.
She's great.
And our theme for the weekend, which you probably should have mentioned at the beginning, was finding your treasure, and that we're all loved, and finding that treasure in God. And so it was kind of like a Treasure Island themed, if you will, where I became the pirate captain of our ship, wearing an eye patch and big hoop earrings and a very small vest.
Right. But the commentary was great when you were glaring at some of the kids going, if you could see what this eye's doing.
They were not giving it enough vigor, saying that they were going to walk the plank. We're going to walk the plank. Yeah.
Bueller.
I think I was intimidating them with my foam sword.
Right. And the sideways hat.
But I mean, I love just being able to laugh with our young people, because so often nowadays they forget that they're kids.
Yeah.
And they forget that the weight of the world is not on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And to give them the opportunity to smile and laugh and play, is really important to me.
Right.
As a youth minister, and kind of the direction that we all want to keep the ministry, is that it is about making sure our young people remember that they are kids.
Right.
You know, they might be teenagers and they might be really cool, way too cool to play silly games. Listen, once they start playing, I really enjoy it. The competitive nature takes over in a heartbeat.
It gets scary.
it takes over in a heartbeat. And it comes out more and more with, like, the sillier and more ridiculous of the games. You know, when we tell them that they have to wrap themselves up in a sheet and crawl across the floor.
Yeah.
It, you know, it makes them at first go, oh, this is ridiculous. Right. How are we going to do it?
Then they're all screaming and jumping up and down.
Exactly.
Pushing people out of the way so they can see.
There is a link to our retreat video. Yeah, I shared it on my Facebook, Steve Potyra, P-O-T-Y-R-A, and St. Bart's Facebook page as well. I think it's just St. Bart's YM.
I think so.
Facebook.com/St. Bart's YM. And I might tweet it out as well. Stevie.pt is my my Twitter. But anyway, it was a really cool, fun time. Yeah. And
one of the things you had mentioned is it's great to see kids have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I also really, really liked was I thought a lot of the one of the things that the people do when they're on our team, the teenagers, is they have to do a talk where they share something that's a part of their faith journey. And some of it's light and some of it's pretty heavy. One of the topics this year was suicide. And I think while it's also very good that these young adults are reminded it's good to be kids and have fun, I think it's also incredibly important that these messages go out. I was actually getting tears in my eyes listening to some of these things. And
you.
I know.
I was crying like a baby.
Because, you know, it's. I think a lot of these kids also think it's important to be tough, but it's okay to have a few tears being shed and realize, you know, things aren't perfect. We aren't perfect. We need God. We need each other.
Yep.
And then through these tough talks, we know that we can lean on each other a little more.
Absolutely. And just the stories of the kids who were thinking about killing themselves before they came to last year's winter retreat. Right. And I just think, wow.
Yeah.
Like, just something as simple as saying yes to coming on winter retreat changed the kid's life.
And these are the nicest, kindest, thoughtfulest kids you'll see. And to hear that this is what's going on in their lives, I mean, I think a big population of people have had some sort of thought of, you know, kind of It's a Wonderful Life, what would things be like if I wasn't here?
Yeah.
But to have some of these kids actually start to think, this is my only way out of my problems, that's scary. You know, that bothers me.
And it's so ingrained in our culture right now. We've lost so many young people.
Too many.
In the past few years that has affected our program.
Mm-hmm.
In the surrounding towns, in suicides, and just I don't know how to put it, but the value of life and how important it is being lost,
mm-hmm.
and the value of each other, and understanding what the level of harassment that happens now to our young people. It's like it's never been seen before.
Right.
And that's where, you know, what we do can be so important. And it just being able to give them that place where they can come and have fun and realize that when we say at the beginning of a retreat, it's judgment free.
Right.
We can come to a place and not feel completely judged and completely.
Leave your labels here.
Exactly.
We take you as you are.
Exactly. And that's what we always try to say, and this weekend was on my heart from the beginning. You remember the first planning meeting?
Mm-hmm.
I said from the beginning, something is burning inside of me, that this idea that every kid who comes, every young adult, every adult planning member, I want everyone to know that because there is God, they are loved.
Mm-hmm.
And because they came on this retreat, we can show them that they are loved. Regardless of anything else that came from the weekend,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure that they left knowing that they are loved and they are supported. And no matter what mistakes or stumbles or falls they have along their journey, that they will always have a place at our church, that they will be able to come. And if they need us to pick them up from when they fall, we are there. Yeah. And they always will have that with our people in our program. And most importantly, that if they come to our church, they will always have a home. Mm-hmm. And that because God and Jesus Christ exists, mm-hmm. they are loved and they are valued and they are important. Because something about today, something about society today is ingraining in our kids, in our young people, that they are not important, that they are not valued, and that they are not worth anything. And there is something so wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me so upset, mm-hmm. but it also makes me so passionate. It also brings it out. It also pumps me up because I just want to shout and just say, like, listen, yep. like, you're loved. Stop it. Right. Because God gave us Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
Right.
Like, that's love. You are loved. You are... You are valued. You are important. And that was the number one thing that I wanted to get across this weekend. And I think it came across.
I think it hit home.
And what was really cool was kind of Father Andy during Mass mm-hmm. kind of brought that along. It's just, mm-hmm. you're important.
Yeah.
He said, standing at the altar, he said, don't say anything. Those of you who are Catholic and understand, when a
priest, I completely did. Yeah, I blew it.
You know how hard it is when he says, what did he say?
Lord be with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And with your spirit is what you're normally saying. He's like, no, don't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peace be with you. And it was silent. And he goes,
no, I said, I blurted it out. And Kathy looks at me and goes, you're not supposed to say anything. You're like, oh.
But so then Father Andy said, without you, what I'm doing is not important. Mm-hmm. Without people coming to church, without people coming to celebrate the Eucharist, mm-hmm. a priest can't do his job. Yeah. A priest can't do his job. And I felt like in that moment he was showing our young people how important they are.
Right.
They are the young church. They mm-hmm. they're not the church of tomorrow. No, they are the church of today. They are the young church. And that is what I wanted to get across to them. And overall I think the weekend went really well. And it kind of goes along with the, you know, our saint of the day was, it's actually a pretty cool story. He talked about, you know, making sure that everyone's loved and everyone's valued and what you can accomplish and your blessings and your treasures in life. Well, Blessed Sebastian of Apricio, I think that's correct.
Yeah.
I am not a wordsmith.
You got it from the audio, just wait.
So, he was born just a simple sheep herder. Hmm. And he was an extremely hard worker, and he made incredible wealth building roads. Hmm. And he amassed wealth, and he married when he was older. And unfortunately, his wife passed. He married again, and his second wife passed away. After his second wife passed away, he gave away all of his possessions mm-hmm. and became a Franciscan brother.
Nice.
He lived a life of poverty for the rest of his life as a Franciscan brother. He worked with lepers. Mm-hmm. Basically, the way the Franciscan brothers worked was that they had to work for their food. Mm. And so whatever they made in wages was essentially just what they could eat. And there were times in his life where he had to panhandle mm. to make ends meet. And he lived to be like 90 years old, something like almost 100.
Pretty good for that time.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, it was just amazing. He's an amazing man. He's one of the patron saint of travelers because of his work with roads and bridges and stuff like that. I believe that there are some bridges named after him and some roads still named after him. But a pretty cool story that he later on in life decided that he needed to give away all of his wealth so that he could dedicate his life to a religious life. And that's pretty cool. And so Blessed Sebastian of Apprecio is the saint of the day. Very so pretty cool man.
Yeah.
And so we teased this earlier.
Yes.
What we wanted to
Canadian
leave you
man
with.
In trouble.
A man and his turtles.
A man and his turtles.
We always want to try to leave you with not only the saint of the day, but also something interesting and funny. Evan, tell me about this man and his turtles.
Yeah, so this Canadian man has gotten in trouble. He's actually been banned from owning any reptiles for 10 years because he tried to smuggle 38 turtles over the Canadian border in his pants. He had them all in Ziploc bags taped to his legs, which must be really painful to take off, you know.
So how do you think he came to that number of 38? Do you think he only had 38 turtles, or that was the number that
fit? I think
he
was just being shellfish. but it said, the Environmental and Climate Change Canada said in a statement, the turtles were contained in plastic bags and taped to Mr. Yan's legs. He's on probation for 2 years and fined $2,600 and also sentenced to 50 hours of community service.
So how did they come up with that number? 2,600.
Yeah.
Is that per turtle? Like, does that break down to 13?
Knowing it's Canada, they probably said, please, could you give us
a spot? Please do this community service.
38 turtles. That's an abundance of turtles. So he either really liked turtles or somehow this is a means of income for him. Yeah. Is smuggling turtles. So like, be on the lookout for these black market turtles.
The comments on this article, by the way, are hysterical. One was, this would have been really tough if they were snapping turtles. One person said, they're so happy together. And
it's really funny. The one thing I definitely wanted to say, as always, is to thank you guys for laughing with us. I hope that you guys enjoy it. Evan and I enjoy doing this podcast. You know, shoot me an email, steve@baconsmiles.org. You can shoot me a tweet, Stevie with a Y, S-T-E-V-E-Y. I think it's .pt.
I believe so.
But Steve Patera on Twitter, Steve Patera on Facebook, Stevie.pt on Instagram. Hit me a line. I want to know that people are listening. I hear from some people that they're listening, and they're enjoying it. Our friend Kevin, who showed up on retreat, awesome. He has an hour commute each way every day, so he said he's listened to...
Are you serious?
He says he's listened to every podcast, not just ours, all of them. He says he has an abundance of time on his hand driving, so he is pretty sure he has listened to every podcast ever.
Wow. Good for him.
But I am really appreciative of anyone who would take the time to listen to us, just joke around and have a good time. I hope the message comes across that we're just trying to have fun, share some joy and some faith. And
retreats is something that you're doing more regularly, where you're...
Yeah.
Helping out other parishes, so that's an email that people can send information to as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone out there who has a connection with their youth ministry program or middle school ministries, or you know, you have a parent night coming up and you want to have a speaker come in, just drop me a line, steve@baconsmiles.org. There's a contact form on the website, baconsmiles.org. I know I keep plugging the website. If you're listening to this, you know where the website is because there's no other way to get it. I'm just super appreciative. I love all you guys out there who listen to this and just Thank you so much, and God bless each and every one of you.